Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Good morning, everybody. And are we all good? Is it all right? It's great to see you all. Great to see you all. And y'all, I've just gone half American this morning. And let me just clear my throat. It's great to be. It is good to be here. I always love coming to church, you know, because if you're watching online, sorry, I always forget to say hello to online people. We've got our people in France and Australia and America, Tom and the guys out there, and Netherlands, Lauren. Let's pray for Lauren. You know what I mean? Hashtag pray for Lauren. Now, that takes faith, let's be honest, doesn't it? You'd be like, it's like Newton Ord on steroids out there, let me tell you. It is. It's bad. That's bad to say that, isn't it? If you're from Lauren, we'd just reach our arms out to you, and if you need food parcels or anything organized, just let us know. So that's a wee joke. It's a wee joke. It's all right to have a laugh in the house of God. And listen, congratulations, you two. And the most wonderful, wonderful gift. And everything going well. We've got a wee newborn if you're online. All good? Yeah, brilliant. Okay. It only gets better. It only gets better. And then it'll go through the phase of this too soon shall pass. And then hopefully that's where I am. And then hopefully it all comes back into line at some point. So just kidding. Right, get your Bibles ready. Because I spoke last week. And I said just about our theme or what I feel like God is saying to us as a church and what he's saying to you, actually. And it says in Ephesians 5, I said last week, look, carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So what I said last week was the Lord says, you look wise up. You know, I'm gonna be really straight today to encourage you to look up. And because the Lord is full of, like, the grace of God is amazing, isn't it? Thank Jesus this morning for his work for us and for what he's done for us. But also Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, had this incredible encounter with Jesus himself, the father of grace, as he's described, and writing the masterpieces of grace, if you're into your theology, you know, like the book of Romans and all this kind of stuff. And but he was full of, really straight talking as well. Really straight talking for the church, and really straight talking for the people of God, because he so wanted them to grow into everything that grace had for them, and not to just hear. You know, it's like just be a hearer of the word, and to be ever tortured by what it might promise, but what you might never walk into. But he really wanted, you know, in his heart. That's why he spent most of his life shipwrecked, imprisoned, going about the place, because it was like, you know, not because this message was a namby-pamby, there-y-there-y type message, because it was that's why he says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of this gospel. Why? It's the power of God for you to change. It's the power of God for you to change. So he says in Ephesians 5, look carefully then how you walk. Don't be unwise, but be wise, making the best of the time, because these days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I have had a sense for my life, and so I believe, like, when I thought about it for the church, I thought that this year is a year of influence, an acceleration of influence in your life and through your life. I said that that is going to be found in your purpose, and that's what I've been talking about. But, our heart as this church is to see people and see lives transformed by grace. And to influence means to cause something to be changed. God is accelerating that this year. And I encourage you to go last week. There are times where the word of God speaks for itself. That is the logos of God. It's like God's heart written, and you can pick it up at any time. But there are times and seasons of emphasis where the Spirit of the Lord is saying, right now, this is what I'm doing, because the Lord is always working. He's not static. Do you get that? It's not like I gave him a word 2,000 years ago. Now go knock yourself out. He's interested in the detail of your life. He's interested in the everyday. He's interested not just in where you are, but where he wants to take you. And so what happens is there's an emphasis that comes on the word at particular times for us, and we have to give ear to that. That's why Paul says, don't be foolish. Don't switch yourself off and just go, now, either I've got this nailed, that's an arrogant way of looking at it, or lazy, because that's foolish as well. And it's not about lazy to work, but it's like being attentive here to listen to what the Lord is saying and leading you into. It would be a wee bit like if we were to take that same attitude and stick it back into, like, some of the big stories that we know from the Old Testament that we love. Let's imagine the Lord speaking to Joshua, where the Lord, he knew that God was faithful, right? He knew that God was loving. He knew that God was a God of promise. That was the Logos word of God for Joshua. But the Lord also comes and speaks right into him and says, Joshua, you're here with the people. I want to lead you to there with the people. So go through the camp, get them ready, put the ark in front of you. Do you understand? It wasn't just like, I'm faithful, I'm good, and I'm your deliverer. It's like, that is the truth. Now, in this season, this is how you're going to see it worked out. So give ear to what I'm saying. If Joshua had gone, oh, the Lord's my deliverer, this is brilliant, he would have been still standing on the wrong side of the Jordan. Do you get that? So he was wise, and it's the same thing today. I hope that makes sense. I'm trying to get you to understand why we have to go. The word of grace is for eternal and forever. That's Jesus himself. But don't be foolish and go, that's just it. It's more than enough. Grace is more than enough. But for the experience of going from grace to grace, the Lord lifts pieces out and he looks at where you're at in your life and he goes, now in this season, I'm almost like putting my spotlight on this because this is where you're going to break through and this is what you're going to walk through. So listen to what I'm saying to you. Give ear to what I'm saying to you because this is where I'm moving right now. And so we listen to the Spirit of the Lord and we walk in step and obedience to the Spirit of the Lord and we see breakthrough. Does that make sense? All right, so that's what I was trying to say last week. Some of you are going, here, that sounds like a great talk. I should have listened to that. And you're probably in the room even. But there we go. So people, families, bodies, minds, workplaces, relationship, it's about being transformed by grace because there are things, and I said to you last week, it's not you that does the changing. It's the Spirit of grace in you that brings the change. It's Jesus in you, his power, not yours, his work, not yours, his word, not yours. But what he says is make yourself available. And listen to what I'm saying and position yourself in that place. If Pastor Joseph Prince in Singapore had an unbelievable revelation of grace 20 odd years ago and then sat in his bedroom, where would some of us be today? You understand what I'm saying? It's like if whoever had just had this incredible, this is brilliant. The Lord's just shown me this. This is his word. And then didn't hear the Spirit of the Lord say, now this is how we're gonna work this out for my purpose. Then a lot of us wouldn't be where we're at today. Does that make sense? So we're going to start in the story of Joseph today because what I said is purpose is it's so incredibly powerful. It's life purpose consists of the central motivating aims of your life. It's the reason why you get up in the morning, and quite frankly, some of us have forgotten that reason. Some of us have forgotten that there's more to us and more calling on us than just me and my own comfort, right? Purpose, what does it do? It guides your life decisions. It guides your influence. It guides your behavior. It shapes goals. It gives you a sense of direction. It creates meaning for you. And that purpose is God-given. Oh, my word, look at that wee bat. Seriously. Sorry. I do get, see with babies, see wee babies. And then it's just the middle bit I don't like, but just the wee babies. He's gorgeous. All right? And you've made me lose my place, Darren, for goodness sake. Bring a wee bag. I love it. But it's that sense of meaning. And what I said is you were created on purpose for purpose. You were created on purpose by God for purpose. And actually, purpose is one of the greatest gifts that God has given you. And some of us have lost it. But the Lord says in Exodus 9:16, this is the purpose for which I've raised you up. Remember, to show you my power so that you might know me, that you might enjoy me, that you might be whole and healed and safe and secure, yours and the generations. But also, he says, in the same breath, that my name may be proclaimed in all of the earth. My name may be proclaimed in all of the earth. You see, the Lord holds these two things in tension. The Lord wants to love you, and he loves you, and he wants to bless you and hold you to give you hope and a future every day. But do you know what? He doesn't love you any more than he loves the people out there. He holds every man and woman in his heart. Jesus came for all of us when we were all miles away. When we were all lost, Jesus made the decision to die for us. And it's as much in the heart of God. Now, how much more, it says, are we in the family of God blessed, right? Because we know Jesus. But there is common grace out there. The sun rises and shines. The rain comes and goes. There's air to breathe. Why? Because the Lord right now, whilst there are people today who don't know Jesus, our purpose is not just to be graced up till we get to heaven. And you'll be loved every day of your life if you do that, but you will miss out on so much. There is so, and here's the ironic thing. That's worldly thinking. Worldly thinking is look after yourself. Do you know what the world is? If you put it into Bible talk, it's flesh. What do you need? What do you think? What do you want? How do you feel? And let's not be careful that what we do is we use the excuse of grace, right, just to be as selfish as the world, because that's not grace. For this purpose, God says over your life today, I've raised you up. And here's the irony. You will find more breakthrough, more grace, more experience of grace himself when you see it not just in your life, but the way to see more in you is to give it away and flow in your purpose that God gave you. That's why Jesus was the most fulfilled person that ever lived. Why? He said, this is my food. It actually fed him, he said, was to what? To do the will of the one who sent me, to do the will of my Father. And he was the most fulfilled, full, most incredibly rounded, whole man that ever put feet on God's green earth. Why? Because he came with this purpose so that he could destroy the works of the enemy and bring men and women and children home for all of eternity. And he never lost sight of that, ever. He never lost sight of it. And so here's the thing. Does that sound all right? I'm going to talk a wee bit about the flesh in a few weeks. You're going to love it. But I'll just give you a wee, this is what's going on. Titus, it says this, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God has appeared, and we all go, amen. What does it do? It teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and helps us to live righteously, godly in these current days. So actually when the grace of God appears, what he does is he teaches us to say no to ourselves, to help us to choose grace in our lives. And that's how we know that we're growing in grace. All right? That's how we know we're growing. So is that okay? Turn up your Bibles to Genesis 37. We're going to look at this. I said we're going to look at this story of Joseph. And what we're going to do is we're going to look from verses 2 to 9. And this is the history of Jacob. I need to read it from up here. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to them, a bad report of them to his father. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now, Joseph had a dream. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. Next slide, please. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, are you off your head, mate? Kind of Belfast paraphrase. Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? Like, who do you think you are, wee man? Is essentially what they're saying. You've got to get the sense of it. Like, wise up. So they hated him even more because of his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream. He doesn't let it go. And told it to his brothers and said, look, if you didn't hear me the first time, I've dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. Go for it, Joseph, right? I guess where I'm going to start today is looking at these 9 verses. And I want you to really hear this in your heart today. Where's this all going to start for you this year? Where you are and where the Lord's leading you to, how's it going to happen? Is it going to be like magic, right? Where the Lord is, you're just going to be sitting there one day, right? And like wake up in Narnia. I'm not even joking. Ask yourself, what are you expecting? Because most of us live with constant disappointment with God, because he doesn't do what we think he's going to do. Let's be really honest about it. So you might chuckle and laugh and go, oh, but most of us live with it. One day my ship's going to come in attitude. Like I'm going to wake up one day and it's all going to be brilliant. Isn't that right? The nights will be longer. Well, they nearly are. Thank goodness. Love that. Right? The summers will be warmer. My wife will be even more careful, Andrew, even more wonderful than what she is now. Impossible. Impossible. My kids will be better behaved, probably. I'll be 4 stone slimmer. Thank you, Jesus. You get me? How's it going to happen? We're going to see here, right, in this life of Joseph, that purpose unfolds through process. And it's a process that the Lord is taking you on from today through this year so that you will cause things to be changed every time you walk into a space. Not just in your life, but in other people's. See, here's the problem. Today we get fixated with the outcome because we're so outcome focused. This is what it looks like. This is where I'm going to go. And we have this picture of the end. But actually what happens is when we get fixated on the end, we miss that actually what Jesus does is that he blesses us and grows us every day in the journey. And sometimes when we don't see that, what we do is go, grace says this, and I want it like right now. And I understand that. But when you're made for purpose, when there's something that centrally motivates your life, what you're going to see is not one of us right now could even begin to hold or handle that which he has prepared for us in its fullness. I'm going to talk about that. You see, when we start with Joseph, what we see is he's a young boy. He's a lad, it says here. And not anything else. Potentially, we can see he's very naive. Let's just look at this. He is not the finished product in any way. But this is where we're going to start with him. And what we see here is that his lack of outward qualification is evident for everyone to see. But even at this stage, he's completely and utterly called by God. And God's hand is on him. I want to tell you that today. Wherever you're starting from, wherever your part of the journey is, you're no less favored by God. But you're not where you need to be. No one. And God, wherever you are in grace, that's why Paul says, I pray grace upon grace to you. Grace upon grace. There is a start and there is a process. But what sometimes we do is we go, it needs to look like this. And if it doesn't look like this, this grace message doesn't work. I'm not loved enough. God doesn't favor me. But yet what we see here with Joseph is wherever he's starting from, he is favored. You've got to remind yourself tomorrow morning and Monday as you face down another week that I may not be where I need to be. I may be on the journey, but I am favored 100% by God. Because that's your starting place. Your starting place is not what you see with your physical eyes. Your starting place is what God has done in you. Now, are we okay so far? All good? Online? I hope you're enjoying it. Because despite the outward, what we do know is this wee lad is favored above everybody else. He's completely unqualified. He's naive. He makes a bit of a botch of this thing. But he has his father's blessing. And his mess does not disqualify him from the blessing that is on his life. In fact, how do we know that he has the blessing? Because he wears it for all to see. His father, Jacob, or Israel, gives him the coat of many colors. And that, do you want to know what that is? That just designates him as an heir apparent. He has the status of an heir. That's what the coat was about. And he was given that even though he wasn't the oldest. Let me tell you, as I was reading this week, the Lord said to me so clearly, the world has a way of ordering people. The world has a way of judging people. It's, in these days, even, it's the eldest gets it first. The eldest is the one who inherits. There is a natural order of looking at things. And the Lord says, no, my favor is on you. And it's not the natural way of it. My favor rests on you because I have chosen you. And the world may say, you are this far down the pecking order. The world may say, well, you shouldn't be getting that because you're not qualified. The world may say that actually this is the way that it should be, but actually what we see here, even at this stage when he's completely unformed, is the Lord says, you are favored. Do you get me? Whatever the world says, put it out of your head. Whatever you've been told in the past about whether you're qualified or not, ignore it. The only voice that matters is the voice of your father who has called you in favor right now. Amen. It's going to be a good series. I can feel it. So he's designated. He wears it. You wear the grace of Jesus wherever you go. Do you know that? It's not the natural order. You've been given the same blessing. In fact, what's interesting here, he's different from his brothers. Some of us struggle with this. But grace makes you different. Grace makes you the favorite, along with everybody else who's got the same grace. But see, people who don't walk in the full grace of God, people who don't know Jesus, right? It's not okay because God favors you. God blesses you and protects you way beyond how much more now that you know it says in the word, right? And he's different from his brothers. You see, many of us just live like we're the same as everybody else with a wee bit of grace, but fundamentally at our core, we're not. Fundamentally, when we were called in grace, we were separated and made different. We're not the same as those people that you work with who don't know Jesus. Do you understand that? On the outside, it may look like it. On the outside, it may look like everything's together. I'm not saying everyone's lives are crap, because they're not. But what I'm saying is when God puts his hand on you and God blesses you and God favors you, that it causes something in your life which people who don't know grace will never walk in. That's why it's not fair, but that's why it's grace. You've got to walk around expecting that doors will open for you. Walk around expecting that people are going to treat you better, that you're going to get opportunities that don't fall to people in the street. Why? Because you are blessed by your Father. What's your expectation? What is your expectation? Is it just, oh Lord, when my ship comes in, it'll be great. I'll hang on by my fingertips in grace. Come on, wake up. Don't be foolish. What has God put in you? What have you called for? What is your purpose? It's way more than that. Now, let's keep going, because what I love is we're told here that Joseph hasn't earned his position, right? There's nothing about Joseph here when he was really good. We're told that he's a shepherd. I'm going to come on to that. It doesn't go, he was a brilliant shepherd, so his father favored him. His father went, you're flipping. See the way you look after them sheep? Unbelievable. Way better than your brothers. Have a nice coat. That doesn't appear. It's just because he was a son. And we're told that the only reason that he's favored is because his father chose it. The only reason. I love that. What I want to say is this. He has favor. Now listen to this. But he hasn't yet found his purpose. Two different things. He's found his favor, but he hasn't found his purpose. Now here's the thing. You will never find your purpose unless you start in favor. But you can live in favor all of your days and never find the purpose for which God bought you for. Do you get the difference? He found his favor, and the Lord could have left him there. The Lord could have said, that's it, Joseph. Hang on in, man. We're going to get to glory. It's going to be awesome. But he went, no. I have got something just bonkers that I've called you for. The wee lad at 17 who's naive and is ticking off his whole family. He has a big dream. Now, we use this word dream in church, and you've probably heard it 1,000 times. Time to dream a dream, right? I love Martin Luther King. Someone said, you know Martin Luther King? What was the interesting thing was he didn't stand up one day and go, I have a plan. I have a plan. No, he went, I have a dream. And what interest, it kind of starts here. I'm going to show you something from the law of first mention in the Old and New Testaments about how God is going to do this in your life this year. Because Joseph starts not with a plan, not with anything else. He starts in the very ordinary. He's watching sheep. I want to tell you, somebody needs to hear this today. You can be absolutely marked by favor. Like the God of all eternity has put his hand on you, but you can find yourself in the very ordinary at the same time. How you interpret where you find yourself in the ordinary will determine the process of how you work out your purpose. Some of us don't like the ordinary. Some of us don't like it. Some of us have learned to go, this is just the way that it is. Either way, we lose sight of the fact that we're still highly favored in it. Another way to put this is, just if you find yourself doing ordinary stuff every day, does not mean that you're not marked with the Father's favor on your life. Don't overlook it, because it's actually, what we're going to see in the life of Joseph, it's actually in the ordinary that God births the most incredible breakthroughs. For Joseph, it was a dream. It was a prophetic dream, in fact. Now, I've never had a prophetic dream. My dreams are just, I don't know what you dream of, right? I dreamt last night, I didn't even want to tell Penny this because it would have freaked her out, but last night I had a dream that we had a cat, which definitely would have to be God because I hate cats, right? Even more than dogs. But I had a cat and I tried to lift it off the bed and the bed was covered in like 1,000 mice that were running around the place, right? It's not, darn, go with me on this, right? It's terrible. Mice. Okay, well, I'm not. So I'm trying to pick it up and I'm trying to shout to Penny, there's mice, but my voice wouldn't come out. You know, one of those? And they were running up my legs and all over me. And the cat was just lying there. And then I tried to close the door, but there was a big hole in the door. And I thought, they're going to run over the whole house. They're going to run over the whole house. And then I woke up and Penny was, and I was like, so I bet you if I was in one of them charismatic type places right now, they'd be going, oh, the Spirit of the Lord says, the mice or the favor and all this kind of stuff. It just, I woke up freaked out. I'm just so alive. I go, see these old people go, I have a dream. I just had this prophetic dream. I go, fair play to you. If you try to interpret my dreams, you'd just have me down as a lunatic, quite frankly, all right? But that's where it starts with them. It starts with this prophetic dream. And I want to show you, because if you've never had this dream, it's like Joseph is the dreamer, right? And he has this dream from God. And if you're like me, I go, I've never had a dream other than the ones that would scare the life out of you. Does that mean I'm not favored? Is that the way that God speaks? No, under grace, he does something a little bit different. Now, don't overlook it because it's in the ordinary. That's what I want to say. But do you know what this dream is? Quite frankly, it's outrageous. I kind of feel for his brothers here. Like, here's this wee squirt, hasn't started shaving. His dad loves him, and you know that your dad favors him more than what he favors you. Let's just be honest about it. They weren't like, oh, fantastic, Joseph is wonderful. There was something seething underneath the surface already with them, because when they chuck him into the pit, which we know that happens, that wasn't a moment. That was in their hearts from long before. I'm going to talk about that in a few weeks. But it's outrageous, isn't it? It's enough to offend his brothers. One day, you're going to bow to me. And they went, seriously? I think that we see something here. The purpose that God, now listen to me. This is why I'm going, what are you expecting for? The purpose that God called you for will, if you saw it and you spoke it out, right, would be so far removed from where you are right now that people will look at you and go, wise up. But that's what God is doing in you. I've told you that I believe my next decade will be my best decade yet. I kind of feel like Joseph right now. I have no clue how it's going to work out, but I'm definitely in the process of getting there. Do you get that? No idea. Joseph at this, it's outrageous. Do you know what we do with outrageous, scandalous bigness on the inside of us? God birthed and God given. We go, nah, couldn't be me. No, that's just silly to think that stuff. No, I mean, that's just me being selfish, and sure, the Lord just says, don't get ahead of yourself, right? But that's not the way that it works. I think we see something here. Like, if you were to speak out sometimes what you really see in your heart, what grace could really do, right? You know that probably the people most likely to go, irate, like, wise up, would be those pretty close to you. But it's not a small dream that he has. When God said over this church this year, this is influence, he wasn't talking about more of the same with a wee bit more. Do you get that? Because I'm not signing up for that. No way. This is not just what I have plus add a wee bit because I want it to keep me comfortable. It's a scandalous vision of what God can do through grace, what God is putting on young Joseph's heart here. And some of you need to hear what I'm trying to say to you is we've got stuck, some of us, in a rut of low expectation because of disappointment from our past. And the Lord wants to break that in you. People, situations, sickness, illness, whatever it happens to be, we have lowered the God of heaven to the level of our own experience. And so when we're asked to think again about what God can do, we go, nah, I've been there. And the Lord says, this is why the Lord is putting an emphasis again, to go, lift your head up, lift your heart up, because I am moving, and this is a year where you are called for influence, where God, me in you, aligned with what I'm birthing in you, you're going to discover more grace this year as you flow and work with me into the lives of other people. Do you get that? How am I doing so far this morning? All right. This is what it says. I mean, I just have to go with what it says. You know what's interesting here? I love the fact that Joseph, there's something pretty straightforward about him. He doesn't get a 4K video file sent to him by the Lord. Have you actually looked at what those dreams meant? Like, we know the end of the story, you see, but let's pretend that you don't know the end of the story. But you know what we love? You know what we long for? Lord, put it up there in that big screen, right? Show me in 4K, Dolby surround sound, what it looks like. And then I'm in. I'm happy. Show me that. Because it makes us feel safe. Makes us feel a bit secure. But Joseph, you're not going to get that right now. That's why you need faith. I guess what it is that's why I said we love the outcome. Because when we can be sure of the outcome, that makes us happy. That's why we need faith to believe that we will arrive at the right place, but we grow through the process. I think, like, this is partly what sustained Joseph in the time to come. Because right now, you might even just have an idea. You might just have a feeling. You might even just have a kind of a picture of what your family would look like completely transformed. Joseph didn't have a clue of what actually God was calling him for. He just had a sense of it. Do any of you just have a sense in your heart of what God is calling you for? Any of you? I know I do. Do I have the first notion what it looks like in 4K? Not a chance. But I have a sense of it. I've got a feeling around it. I kind of felt like God has started to put stuff into my heart like he puts in yours. And honestly, if you're thinking, Lord, just get me through to the end. Do you know, can I just say this? The reason why some of us can only get through week to week is because we've got no sense of greater purpose in our lives. And we've just reduced it to us. I'm being really straight. We're not creating a culture of Christian dependency in exchange. I don't want that for you because that's so far beneath what God has called you for. But what happens is we don't want to get stuck in going, I get the wee sense of it, Lord. I get the wee sense of it. But and then we try to work, how would that work or what would that look like? Or Joseph's just going to go on the journey. Joseph's just going to go on the journey and trust God at every step of the way that he'll be where he needs to be. And I think it was going back to, you know, how did Joseph stick? You know, we're going to say it's like 20-odd years pass, 13 in a prison, all sorts of stuff, right? There was something in him that went, God, I don't know where you're, what it looks like completely, but I know that you did speak to me at this stage and you put something in me. I think that kept him going. Do you have a sense on the inside about, even a picture, if you like, about what your world could look, not selfishly, like I'm living in a big house with, you know, whatever. Forget about that. You're missing the point. All that comes to you, right? All what you need will come to you. But first of all, what he says is, do you have a view? Do you have a picture? Do you imagine at times, like even in your wildest dreams, as we would say, about what you could do with the grace of God in you? What you could achieve? What God wants to do in you? The people that you would reach? What, even just start with your family. Imagine every member of your family with you today in church, under grace, being healed, restored, given hope and a future. Imagine what that would be like. Some of us go, been there before. I couldn't dream for that. That's pie in the sky. If you think that, all right, then go and play golf on a Sunday. Honestly. Don't give in to the enemy that way. Because the Lord's always birthing hope, always birthing life. Always go and see what you can see on the inside of you and putting it there. Time to dream a dream. A dream of influence and purpose. And start to see what I am doing in these days, because the Lord's not, listen, what I love about the Lord is there's not anyone in our lives that he doesn't love more than we do. He loves everyone. We think we love people around us. Doesn't even come close to the way the Lord loves them, and he never rests working for them, working towards them, drawing them close. I was listening to a talk this week. Actually, I might send it out to the whole church. It's Bill Wilson. It's brilliant. And he said, you know, we don't need to pray for the harvest. The harvest is there. We need to pray that the Lord sends people for the harvest. We were listening to that one morning really early, and I went, God, that's brilliant. We actually don't need to pray for the harvest. The harvest is ripe. The Lord says, pray for people to go, pray for the harvesters. I was like, why have I not seen that before? Oh, pray for this, pray for that, pray for that. And the Lord says, no, the harvest is ripe. This is the day of my favor. Go. And see what, anyway, that's another talk coming up. So are we doing okay? Doing all right? Yeah? Good. Let me give you some Bible here very quickly, about 10 minutes, and then I'm done. It's the question of going, what do you actually see on the inside this morning? What do you see on your inside? When we come to looking at the Bible, okay, there's a thing called the law of first mention, and it's really important. And we're going to see something really powerful that I want to explain to you. Back in Genesis 6:5, it says this: the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is the first time where we see imagination in the Bible. So whenever you look here, right, that the law of first mention, the first time something is mentioned, it's generally very significant and will set the same tone throughout the whole of the word. And so what we see here is that this is the first time where we hear this thing, imagination, and or dream, if you like, in Joseph's world, dream or imagination. And God links your heart and imagination with imagination and thoughts. You see, we think that imagination is just about the mind. It's not. God says that it's deeper than that. It's about your heart, actually. Mind is about logic. It's about nous, right? If we would say over here, that's the word actually in Greek. But so one is analytical and one is imaginative. It knows and it sees pictures. You see, we've been trained in the West. This is what's really interesting when we look at the word. We've been trained in the West because education is generally logical and analytical. It's generally the way that we're trained. But in the Bible time, they didn't train people using logic and analytics. They used they trained like their kids and themselves, and they were taught using pictures. And pictures represented what the word means. That's why the Hebrew alphabet, the letter He, number 5, for us, grace is an open window into heaven. So that's why they did that. Now, why does God do it that way? Because let me tell you something. The whole thing is God gives you faith pictures. How does he impart faith to you? Well, we know it comes from the word, right? And by going to the word, it builds faith. It's what we meditate on. But it's not logical and analytical most of the time, is it? It's pictures. So, like, everyone close your eyes for 1 minute, okay? I'm going to read a wee bit of Psalm 1 to you. Now, if you think about if you're facing bad news today, just listen to me as I read this. You're like a tree planted by streams of water that yields good fruit, and your leaf does not wither. In everything that you do, you prosper. The wicked, they're not like that. They'll be driven away, but you're like a tree planted by a stream of water bearing good fruit. Do you know the biggest area of attack in your life? Now, open your eyes. Now, see back in the room. All right. You're back in the room. When the Lord writes like that, what's he doing? He's provoking your imagination, isn't he? Because you start to imagine a strong tree drawing water, bearing good fruit. Like, the world calls this visualization, but it's a gift given to us right at the start by God. And let me tell you, don't think that you don't visualize. Most of your visualization is negative. You're continually painting negative pictures in our heads, isn't that right? We generally think what could go wrong, what's not working, what's not right. That's the same gift that God birthed in you, where the enemy has taken control over it. But the gift was given by God. Why? So that you could have faith to believe what his word looks like, so you could see it. You could imagine it. You could live in it. God could start to show you these wonderful 4K pictures of what it looks like. And in there, what would happen is faith would rise and it would draw you towards what God is doing. The point of it is, though, what we have learned to do is we have learned to dumb that down, either through experience or through the not wanting to seem like we're a Joseph above ourselves. Now, God's going to take Joseph with all of his mess to the place that he promised him through the process. But Joseph had to hold on to it. Joseph had to believe it. And many of us have let it go. And that's why I'm saying dream again. Because actually, it's not just your wild imagination. If you kind of see, I guess, like, part of me doesn't even want to dampen down anything, but if you kind of see yourself like in living a life, you know, like Instagram influencers, part of me wants to start a campaign, right, to get them removed and put onto the Copeland Islands all together where they can, do you know this, where you have kids who are 20 and they're in a private jet, which is on the ground somewhere, and they have a Rolls Royce, and, you know, you two can have a Rolex like mine, and all this complete nonsense, right? I would love to round them all up, put them on the Copelands, and have like the biggest Hunger Games type event. Is that too honest? How cool would that be? We could sell pay-per-view, eat popcorn, and watch them eat each other. You got a wee insight into that. Do you know why? Because they're selling this complete nonsense. When God births something in you, it's not for a fancy watch, folks. It's for the lives of your loved ones, your families, for this city, for this nation, to be found in the presence of Jesus for always. To see the sick made well, to see those in lack prospered and blessed, to see those with no hope to have such certainty about their future. That's what God births in us. And everything else he has already promised will be added to you. That's what he promises. And so see this thing of imagination. Can I ask you to consider something? I think some of us need to dust down even some of the things that God spoke to us in the past. But some of us, again, need to dream again and go, if you're unhappy generally, can I just say this? If you feel unfulfilled generally, if you kind of wake up and go, no matter what I do, it's fine, but right? Your problem is purpose, because you're not enough. And the reason because you weren't created just to satisfy yourself. You were created for a relationship with the Lord and then purpose from the Lord. And in that space, everything else is added to you. We think that's material things. I think that's everything. Seek first the kingdom of God, right? And then everything is added. You want to look up the word everything. I'll go and let you do that yourself. It just doesn't mean material things. It means everything. So we look for the everything in the Insta stories. It's what the world is, and it's just nonsense. In the New Testament, there's the first mention is Matthew 5:8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, right? The word see there is experience God. It says here, let me just unpack this. I unpacked this during the week for myself. It's like, that, you know, the word blessed here, it describes a believer in an enviable position from receiving God's favor and provision. Literally, it says he extends large his grace to you, right? And what we do is we receive it. And it says that, and what happens then is with receiving the Lord's birthing in faith, right, we see faith rising. Isn't that beautiful? So as he extends his grace, he causes you to imagine. Because when you look at your life today, and you tell me what the promise of grace, how it changes what you see. Think about that person who's sick. Might even be in your own body. What does grace say? Grace causes you to look at it and go, but it looks transformed by grace into wholeness and health and wellness. Isn't that right? And you start to see the picture of that. And you go, at that moment, God has birthed something in you. That's my point. He links imagination that you see through the lens of grace, and it births faith. Now, we're going to learn how to keep walking on the process so we see that come to pass. But I want to ask you just to consider that. It says, even Abraham, you know, I'll give you one more example and then we'll finish. Abraham, it says here in Genesis 13, Abraham was blessed, but he was barren. Do you get that? Like Joseph, highly favored, but not in the place where he needs to be. You read this about Abraham, blessed but barren. So what does God do? Even way back then, he gives him a picture. He puts it into his mind. Lift up your eyes from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you, to your offspring forever. Now listen, for I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring will also be counted. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you. So here's Abraham, blessed by God, but barren. And the Lord gives him a picture of so many kids, so many descendants, that it's like the dust on the ground. Imagine that. He's saying, look with your physical eyes, but see what I'm doing here, right? Don't be limited by what you see in your physical eyes, but look at what I'm putting in your heart. And when I put it in your heart, if you walk the process with me, you're going to see it with your physical eyes. That's the point. Be like the dust in the ground. So many you can't count them. He's absolutely barren at this point. So where does the Lord start the process? He gets him to dream a dream. I'm going to finish. I just want to say this. I really want you to grasp this, okay? There's two things I want to say. Your outcome is secure, because that's what grace promises. I think that most of us will do so much learning this year on the journey. What do I mean? You'll find more grace as you share grace, and you're going to learn what that's like, but you'll have to do it. Nobody can force you. You'll have to think about not giving into the flesh and make that choice, because that's what grace has done. But can I just say at this stage, be really careful who you share, what God's putting in your heart. I think with Joseph, you know, we kind of get this. Not everyone, here's what I'm going to say. Not everyone gets really excited about what God's called you for. We think that they do, because I naively through my whole life have gone, like I'm talking about church here. If it's about church, we're all batting on the same side, right? For the king and his kingdom. And then you get the harsh reality of most of the time it's got absolutely stuff all to do with that. It's this cutthroat and as competitive and as much competition in the church as there is outside of it. Don't want to rain on your parade, but that's just the way that it's like. If you don't believe me, go and lead a church and you'll figure it out in the first 5 minutes. What I've learned, and I'm learning to be better at, is people will not see or understand what God has put in your heart. They won't see it and they won't understand it. Most people won't. There are three main areas, right, that God, that I think come against us. This is actually a talk in this series I'm going to do. It's the enemy, the circumstances, and the flesh. But God has an answer for everyone. For every challenge, there's a promise of good outcome in those things that come against you. In Joseph's case here, and don't read anything into this because my family come to this church, but what I'm saying is what we see here in Joseph's life was that people who know you the best see all your wrinkles. They see your B roll. Do you get that? When you put your A roll on for everybody else. So they're the ones most likely to go, "You'll never do that. Who are you kidding?" And it's not because necessarily that they're bad, right? That's not the point. But they're much more aware of your limitations and your feelings. So what I'm not saying is don't share it with your family. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is ask the Lord who you should share it with. But don't be surprised for the people that you look to give you affirmation and go, "That's fantastic." Go, "Oh, I did on. Here he goes again." Just be really careful of that. Is that okay this morning? Yeah. Like, I guess we're going to take communion online. Get ready for communion online, people. I guess what I'm trying to say to you is this. Can I have a communion thingy, please? That'd be helpful. Thank you, love. I guess what I'm trying to say to you is this morning. Listen up. Is if you've been round the block a few times and you've got the scars to show it, all right? I think the naivety of young Joseph was actually one of his greatest strengths. Quite frankly. That just acceptance of, I had a dream. God put something on my heart and I had a dream. He had no idea where it was going to take him. But he had the sense of where God was leading him to. Some of you have already got that in your heart. And so it's going to be exciting to see how God unfolds that. But Joseph's dream was not one of his own comfort, wasn't one of his own living his best life, that kind of stuff. But it was one of fulfillment, influence, impact. And here's the greatest thing, I'm going to get cut to the end. The greatest thing that Joseph could do for his loved ones, now listen to me, was to follow the dream that God put in his heart. Do you know why? He ended up saving them. He ended up saving them. The ones who wanted to kill him because of what God put in his heart were the ones that God actually were the very ones who lived because Joseph kept it in his heart. The stakes are big, right? But that's what you're called for. That's what you're called for. Isn't God good? I would really encourage you, don't walk past, all right? Don't walk past mornings like this where you just go, "Great, whatever." Think about, dream about those pictures in your head. Write them down. Find someone who loves you, who really loves you. Just doesn't say the love, but someone who really loves you. And talk it, share it with them. And agree together that you might not have the first notion how he'll work it out, but you don't need to know how he's going to work it out because he's going to work it out. Your job is just to stay in faith every day. Receive grace upon grace. And I think the prophetic thing of this morning actually is that for some of you right now, there are people in your family, and whilst they may not mock you or want to chuck you in a pit, they just don't get you. But I want to speak it prophetically over you this morning. If you have a heart to receive it, receive it. The Lord says there's going to be a day because of what he's putting in your heart at this moment that your family are going to look and say, "Thank you that you stayed faithful to the course that God put you on." Because I am seeing the goodness of God in my life and in my children's life and in my grandchildren's life because you had a dream from God. Thank you for staying the course. Amen. Father, we take this bread in our hands today and we say thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your body broken for us. Thank you, Jesus, that today we speak life and health over everybody in their bodies, physical, in their minds. This morning, we speak health and wholeness. Jesus, by your stripes, we are healed. Amen. Father, we take the cup this morning. And I can't open it. We take the cup. And Father, we thank you that your blood breaks every curse. Father, thank you that your blood, one drop of your blood was enough to save us forever, for all time. And so we say thank you, Lord, for that. Jesus, in your name, I speak health, release, righteousness over this church. Everyone watching online the same. Pray that today that there would be a new revelation of Jesus and his grace for you. A new excitement about your family and your call. This week that there would be a new sense of purpose around you, that God has raised you up. And if you say, Lord, I don't know how it's going to work, he says, don't you worry, I'm going to work it out. Just keep speaking. Remember, lean into grace, exchange your doubt, and declare, as Penny said, your grace works well. Go in the process and see what God will do. And all God's people said, amen. Let me just pray over you. We're going to get ready online for our giving. Can I just encourage you? Thank you for everyone who gives and gives generously into the church. It helps us not just to keep the doors open, but we get this message of grace around the world and people are connecting. So, you know, where the world goes, times are tough and all that sort of stuff. The Lord's not even taking notice, to be fair, because he owns everything. It's all his. And the thing that marks out the people of God is supernatural blessing. And so I pray that over you. Don't make a choice to be generous in your giving. Break the patterns, break the cycles of lack by being a generous giver. And that's why we do it as a church. We bring our tithes and we bring our offerings to what the Lord is doing. But I speak over you. Just have a sense now of the Lord, actually for some of you, just healing some of the disappointment. For some of you, he's encouraging and challenging you to make a choice out of self. For some of you, it's almost like you can't even, you know, when you start to really dream with God and believe and see the way that he sees things, that you just can't even imagine that how God would do it. But he says, do go on the journey with me. Visualize and see what I am putting in your heart, because that's the purpose for which I've raised you up. Some of you will look at it and go, what, me? Seriously? You've raised me up for that? The Lord says, yeah. My grace in you is more than enough. So Jesus, we thank you for mornings like this. We thank you for your promise. Thank you for your grace over every person, from the youngest in this room, Lord, right to the very oldest. Everyone watching online, I speak the grace of Jesus over you. I speak his love and his protection this week. His arms to hold you. His hand to strengthen you. In everything that you would know that you're highly favored. That when the accusation of the enemy comes, the condemnation comes, I pray that the Holy Spirit himself would remind you of who you are and what you've been made to be. I pray this week as you lean into grace and you receive faith in that part, that your declaration from your mouth would be, his grace is working well. And we pray breakthrough, we pray life, we pray new opportunities, we pray new hope, new vision, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning, folks. Pray you've been blessed. Spoke a wee bit longer than what I normally want to do, but I thought that was an important one this morning. Thanks for watching online. If you're in the room, we've got tea and coffee.